Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Vernon Dozier is back with us, a football coach, high school team, and we've been talking about the birth of your grandson. And what is his name?
His name is Dylan Connor Boyle, Phil.
And he was born premature at what?
Yes, he was at a little over 2 pounds. He was born about 10 weeks premature.
How is he doing?
Well, right now they have him in, he is critical. And this weekend my wife wants to go down to St. Luke's and be with my daughter and my son-in-law and my other daughter who's driven in from San Diego with her husband. And I tell you, as I was mentioning, my wife Alice is making this into a, you know, a pretty big thing. There's a specialist coming in from San Francisco. This gentleman, Dr. Cutter, is flying in. And I don't have any problem with that. But this morning, as I was telling you before we went on the air, at 7 o'clock I was getting out of the shower, and my wife came to me and said that we need to be at the hospital by 10 on Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, it was one of those things where you kind of stop cold.
You mentioned to her that the Super Bowl is on Sunday?
I said to her, you remember how I make my living?
I'm sorry, you said what?
I said to my wife, I said, do you remember how I make my living? I'm a football coach. And on Sunday, as you just said, Phil, something called the Super Bowl. And maybe you've read about it, you know, and I had to, because I had to get sarcastic.
All right, but she's talking to you about your first grandchild who's in intensive care. And the family,
but Phil,
and the family coming together to be with your daughter and support her and the baby, right?
But Phil, one good thing I tell my students is this: you know, it's a good thing to believe in God, but remember, even God has to have some fun. And when God has fun, it's generally going to be at your expense. Don't allow. Let me tell you a story, because I'm a little bit older than you. 10 years ago, I sat.
Well, wait a minute. I'm just asking you: isn't it better to be with your grandchild than to be watching the Super Bowl?
I can answer that by telling you a story from my life. This is what happened to me 10 years ago. I was sitting by a telephone. And, in fact, Phil, was on the same phone I'm talking to you on right now. And I was waiting for a call from the Denver Broncos. The word was that Dan Reeves, who was the head coach of the Broncos at that time, was going to offer me the linebacker coach job for the Broncos. I would be a National Football League coach. But I learned something on that day. I learned that God knows what's going to happen. But I believe, and I don't want to offend anyone's belief system, but I believe that God gets his cheap kicks sometimes, watching us mortals sweat and strain and bleed from every hole, waiting for something that he isn't going to give us. And that call from the Denver Broncos never came. And I'm sure God had himself a real good time that day, watching me sweat like a, I tell my wife I sweated like a priest in a whorehouse waiting for a call that never came. God knew it wasn't going to come. And he was getting his cheap kicks that day.
Are you angry about that?
I'm not angry. I just know how life is. Now you, my wife, my daughter, these guys she's married to, you know, this guy she's married to, you all want me to go on the biggest day of the year for football, go down to the hospital, eat candy out of a machine, coffee out of a machine. I got a son-in-law who's coming up, and you know, he's a good man, and my daughter loves him, but when he starts talking, I don't know what he's talking about. Standing over a grandson who was named, not after me, by the way, and this is a point I want to make, he was named after the father of the groom, Vernon Connor. So he was named after my son-in-law's father, Dylan Connor. And I got to watch a kid named after a guy who I don't particularly like, this guy Boyle, and knows this, and he threw that in to make it burn like gonorrhea. And meanwhile, the biggest game in football goes on without me. So why do I want to put myself in for this? I don't understand your question.
Well, all right. You don't want to go down to see your grandson who is in an incubator, right?
He is in a some kind of a life support device. I don't know. Do they call it an incubator? Yeah. But he's in the critical.
All right. You don't want to go down and be with your grandson. Your wife has asked you. You want to watch the football because you're afraid of something happening?
I'm not going to go down there so God can get his kicks watching me watch my grandson die when I can be watching the Super Bowl.
All right, let me give our phone number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I know you're a football coach and that the Super Bowl is very important to you, but it sounds to me like you are afraid your grandson's going to die and you don't want to be there.
It's not that I don't want to be there. It's not that I'm afraid my grandson's going to die. I'm not going to let what's it, you know, the man upstairs make a jackass out of me two times in a row. He's getting his thrills watching me get turned down for the job of the Broncos. Then he gets his cheap thrills watching me have to listen to my son-in-law. This is so much that my grandson's going to die. The boy is named after his the other man. It's not, no. What I'm saying is, I don't want to go down there and have God get his thrills watching me get bored to tears talking to my son-in-law. And he's a good man, but he goes on and on about God, Jesus, H. Man, I don't know what he's talking about. And meanwhile, the ball game's on. And by the way, the man that he's the boy's named after.
Now, the what's the child's name?
His name is Dylan Connor Boyle.
Oh, the middle name is Connor.
Yeah, Dylan Connor Boyle. And the man that he's named after, Dylan Boyle, who is the father of my son-in-law.
Right.
Guess where? Do you think he's going to be in the hospital?
I'm going to take it that you're going to tell me he's not.
No, he's not. He's on a cruise with his second wife through the Panama Canal. And God knows what's going to happen. Has already made up his mind to watch me slowly die of boredom because it gives him a thrill. And is going to be watching us cry and sweat because he needs his jollies.
Well, Mr. Dozier, you are speaking to me about a God that some people believe in. A vengeful, hateful God. In fact, that was the kind of God that the Greeks believed in. The Greeks believed all of the gods were just up there to get their jollies and get their kicks.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know what you're talking about, but it doesn't sound to me like things have changed too damn much. Whether we had 10 gods or one god, all of them are up there having themselves one whale of a time, watching us burn like gonorrhea over all kinds of...
Could you... I mean, you're using some phrasing.
Forgive me, but it's just watching this game is very important to me. I'm a football coach. I live and breathe football. And this is what I'm meant to do, watch this football game. And I'm not going to get gilded into anything.
All right, I want to talk to you just from the standpoint of your grandson. Okay?
Yeah.
Forget about God and forget about everything else. This is the first grandson you've got, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Don't you want him to pull through?
Yes, of course I do, Mr. Henry.
All right, well then, wouldn't you want to be down... And your daughter, you love your daughter.
I have two wonderful girls. I love them both. And my daughter, who presented me with a grant, this beautiful child, is a great gal, okay? But when she got pregnant, I told her, I said, Raquel, listen to me. You're pregnant, and I'm supposed to be happy, but I know what's going to happen, okay? Because the man upstairs loves to screw with me. And you're going to get sick, or something's going to happen in your pregnancy, and then I'm going to sit in a hospital waiting for you to get better while the Super Bowl, number 38, goes on, and I don't get to watch it. I said to her mother yesterday, and her mother almost threw something at me, because I said, hey, remember what I do for a living? I'm a football coach. I had to talk to her like I'm talking to some dumb cop in France. Hey, because she don't remember.
All right, if it's true that God knows what's going to happen to your grandson, and it's true that God knows what's going to happen in the Super Bowl, why watch the Super Bowl, too?
Because at least I'm having fun. At least I'm having fun. I go to the hospital, and I got to listen to my son-in-law, and I got to eat garbage out of a machine. And
so you're not afraid that your grandson's going to die. You just don't want to go down to the hospital and get bored sick talking to your son-in-law?
I don't want to be in a... Let me ask you a question, Mr. Henry, and I don't mean to insult you because you sound like an intelligent man. What reasonable man wants to spend his Sunday afternoon sitting in a hospital? Not even a doctor wants to go to a hospital on Sunday. Do you understand that? That is how disgusting and foul hospitals are. Okay, I know because I had an alcohol abuse problem back in my 20s, and I was strapped to a gurney, and I'm not proud of this, in a dryout center in New Mexico. And I hated the living guts out of every doctor I saw, every nurse I saw. I wanted to strangle all of them. And since that time, I'm clean and sober, but I hate hospitals. And even doctors will tell you they can't stand going near them. Nobody likes going into hospitals. Patients hate them. The nurses hate the guts out of them because they don't like the patients, too. The doctors can't stand any of it. They ought to burn them all to the ground because they don't do anybody any good. You know, so why would I want to do that?
All right, hold the line here. 1-800-449-8686. I've known this guy, Mr. Dozier, is a well-known high school prep coach, who doesn't want to go to the hospital this weekend to be with his daughter and his grandson, who was born premature and is on the critical list. Instead, he wants to watch the Super Bowl. And I said, well, obviously, I would ask the question anybody would ask, which is, what's more valuable, your grandson or the Super Bowl? He said, God knows what's going to happen to both of them. He's already made his mind up whether he's going to let my grandson live or die, and I'm not going to the hospital so God can make a monkey out of me letting my grandson die after I hope he lives. I said, so God knows who's going to win the Super Bowl? He says, yeah, but at least I can have fun watching the Super Bowl. So this is a guy who thinks that the whole reason God's upstairs is to just to try to make an ape out of him and get, as he says, quote, his cheap kicks. 1-800-449-8686. Make a monkey out of him. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Vernon Dozier, high school football coach at Belmar Academy. I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Madden 2003. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You don't have any appreciation.
All right, I'm back with Vernon Dozier. First of all, Vernon, I want to congratulate you on the birth of your grandson.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry that the child was born premature, and I know that, you know, with the good medical, you got a specialist coming, and he's going to do well. But you don't want to be there at the hospital on Sunday. You want to be at home watching the Super Bowl.
That is correct. I don't understand. My wife has made a big deal out of this. The doctor has, my daughter has, even this, you know, the guy that my daughter's married to, who I am required to call a son-in-law. Now, I like the guy, but he's...
What is it about this son-in-law you don't like?
He's stupid. He's just stupid, that's all. He's just a stupid man, and I don't like being around stupid people, especially if I gotta sit and I'm locked in with this guy, right? So now, the problem that I'm having is the guilt trip that everybody's laying on me. My grandson isn't going to know it's me. My grandson doesn't care if I live or die. Do you know that?
He's a baby.
Yeah, I know he's a baby, but the point is, my grandson, right now, doesn't know I exist and couldn't care if I was tied to a post in an Asian country surrounded by Chinamen who are flaying the skin off of me. He wouldn't care.
He's a little baby in an incubator.
I understand he's a little baby, but I'm going to spend my Sunday for him, and he doesn't care if I die with blood in my mouth screaming. You see the difference? And you want me to blow out the Super Bowl.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Annetta, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Number one, I really feel sorry for this guy that he thinks that God would use an innocent child to toy with him, number one.
Well, why wouldn't he? He uses everything else. He uses women, he uses children, he uses everybody. That just all God... Look, and I don't believe that God's bad. I believe occasionally, especially with me, he wants to make a chimp out of me.
Well, I'm really sorry you feel that way. And number two... My second comment is, I work in a hospital,
right,
in an operating room, on the cardiac team, and I've seen babies come in at far more premature than your grandson, and you know what, you might not think that they know when somebody is there who loves them, but they really do.
I understand that, but he knows that I'm there, but all I am is just another pig face staring through the glass at him with my nose pressed up against it. And if someone were to come along and put a loaded weapon to my head at that instant and blow my brains all over that glass, the kid would just roll back over and go back to sleep, see? So I'm saying...
But you know what, though? It's what you leave with your child that counts.
I understand.
If you were to drop dead today, not that I'm wishing anything, but hypothetical situation, if you were to die today...
I could,
ma'am. And you were dying looking at your grandchild, your daughter... would live your legacy in him saying, you know what, your grandfather died looking at you. You are the one thing that he treasured the most.
Do you think that that would be a pleasant memory for my daughter, to remember me getting an axe through my skull, staring at my own grandson?
No,
wait a minute. Why are you saying you're going to die a violent death while you're staring at your grandson?
Look, I want to tell both of you something. This Super Bowl could be my last.
Why?
I understand that. I'm not here to lay a guilt trip on you.
I also use speed, and I shouldn't, and I know that I shouldn't use amphetamines. I could die of a heart attack this year.
Sir, that is between you and your conscience of what you do on your free time.
But if that
all
kid,
I'm saying is I have two children. I have two boys, 5 and 2. And I'm saying all I'm saying is that they know. I mean, babies
you'd
know.
Think they do.
They
you
just
think
know.
They do. When they're babies, they don't really know. And you sound like a nice lady, but you could be staring at your child lovingly, and suddenly someone comes through a window and puts an axe into your neck. And the kid, yeah, seriously, you're laughing.
Oh my God, what an image. The thing is that I don't understand why you feel like you're going to die this horrible, violent death.
Because I
am. You know what, the thing
because
is
I smoke
that,
and I drink and I take amphetamines and I've lived a bad life.
And you know what? Your odds of dying are better when you drive a car.
True. All right, Annette, I got to run. Thank you very much, though. Good call. 1-800-449-8686. You're afraid this is going to be your last Super Bowl?
I am, Phil, because I am not. I don't live my life very well. I'm a heavy smoker. I also do not watch my alcohol intake.
Why don't you clean your life up? You can live a long life for your grandson. What?
Well, there you go again.
Go again about what?
Well, no, it's just that you and everybody, the grandson. I just got done telling you that I have an addiction to amphetamines, I smoke too much, and I drink too much. And you're there with the grandson thing all of a sudden. Everybody wants to break my balls with a grandson.
Could you watch your language, sir?
Forgive me, but everyone wants to keep hitting me over the head with a grandson. That kid doesn't know me from something he just left in his diaper. Honest to God, the kid doesn't know me. Why do I waste a Sunday for a kid that doesn't know me from the man on the bloody moon? I'm a football coach. And my wife, God.
You're blaming your wife for forcing you to go to the hospital. She shouldn't have to force you.
Well, she's guilting me into it.
All right, and I understand that. But, all right, let me go to another call. Stephanie, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead. Stephanie?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I just got...
You need to turn your radio down, too.
I've just got a comment for him. God. You're talking about the same God who saved me when I was 17 years old.
Wait a minute,
my whole family rallied around me.
Did you have a doctor?
Yes, I did.
That's who saved you.
I had 12 of them.
That's all 12 of those guys. You ought to be on your hands and knees kissing each and every one of their rear ends. God wanted to just monkey with you. He knew you were going to live. He had already preordained you were going to live, but he said, why don't we have Stephanie just lay there and suffer? I'll bring in 12 apes. We'll make monkeys out of everybody. I'll have a couple of laughs.
Jesus, I mean, you do believe in a Greek version of God.
Here you go again with Greek this, and you can't, you know, you guys want to talk about everything except me.
Yeah, it's all about you.
No,
it's about the grandbaby.
Ma'am.
I've got two children myself, and my little boy almost died when he was 2 months old.
Oh, my God.
My parents were there for me.
You know, what are you people going to do if you didn't have dead and sick kids? If I drop dead without seeing Super Bowl 38, from heaven above, I'll make sure to torment my wife, my daughter.
Frankly, if I were the daughter, I'd already been saying I no longer have a father. He's dead.
You know what I think? I think God sounds just like you. I think he's got a thick Southern accent.
Good.
And
I'm proud of the way I sound. God. Thank you very much.
I'm going to tell you something.
Look, both of you need to hold on. 1-800-449-8686. This guy wants to watch the Super Bowl while his premature grandson may die this weekend. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
What? All right, we're back with Vernon Dozier, a football coach, a high school football coach who wants to be... Where are you right now?
Phil, I'm shooting pool right now. I'm at Temple City Pool.
Okay, you want to be... You want to watch the Super Bowl. You're a football coach.
That's exactly right. I'm a football coach.
But on Sunday, your wife wants everybody at the hospital to support your daughter and your premature grandson who is in intensive care. I mean, what if he dies while you're at the Super Bowl and you're not there to console your daughter or your son-in-law or your wife?
Well, all right, that's important. You know, you're right. But once again, here comes, you know, I'm at the hospital with my wife and daughter. If my grandson dies, okay, then God's getting his jollies. He's watching me sweat out the death of my grandson, consoling my wife, and I got to sit there and listen to my son-in-law, and oh, God, I got to sit and listen to his stories. And now, if I'm not there when my grandson dies, then God can't touch me. I'm watching the game, having a beer, and God's up there kicking the wall and getting pissed off and kicking the bumper of his whatever car he drives up there because he can't screw with me. And I'm down here, and I'm laughing my ass off. You see what I'm saying, Phil? So if you think I'm going to miss Beyonce Knowles with that, oh, man, and all of the other things, to go down to a hospital and look at a kid who, when he looks back up at me, I might as well be the night janitor. I might as well be holding a broom, holding a dish rag, and a can of Windex. He wouldn't know me from some guy selling newspapers. Yeah, thanks a lot. And I told my wife.
Well, no, you know, all right. 1-800-449-8686. I know the kid's going to get to know you. Does that matter?
When he gets to know me, he gets to respect me and appreciate me. Then we've got ourselves what is called a bonded relationship. But until then, he's staring at me with that bug-eyed stare like I'm just another turd that the doctor's going to come and wipe away with a antiseptic rag. No.
All right, here is John. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I've got a couple things to say. First of all, it's no wonder why the young people of today are screwed up as they are when they've got supposed role models like this idiot as a football coach.
Wait a minute.
Supposed to be a leader.
Hold on,
you're not a football coach. You're a coward.
Oh, listen to you. I am going to watch
the
greatest football game.
You're a selfish coward.
Now you listen to me.
You know what?
You know,
you should do that kid a favor and die this year so he doesn't have to know you.
Hey, how come I'm a coward? How does that make me a coward?
You are a coward.
How does that make me
you
a coward?
You are a selfish
coward. Look, I know you
coward.
Know how to pronounce the word, but do you know
You're
what it
not
means?
A football coach.
You know what it means?
A football coach is supposed
right,
to be a
on,
leader.
Hold on.
You're a coward.
Either we're going to have a conversation here. Johnny, asked you a question.
What is it?
All right, I'm going to ask you a question, John. I know you know how to pronounce coward, because you've said it 9 times. Do you know the definition of it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, what's it mean?
Yeah, somebody who runs away from responsibility.
Oh, you're a pussy. Do you know what that means?
Wait a second. Wait a second, okay?
You know what that means?
I feel sorry for your family.
No, it's not responsibility. I'm the grandfather. I had the girl. Now I'm going to watch a football game and not go down and look at some kid looking at me like I'm stupid, okay?
You're the kind of guy that gets knocked over a baby. Like you said you were going to.
You want to know something? Where are you at right
do
now?
I'm in Atlanta. Where are you?
Oh, convenient for you that you're all the way to the other side of the country. Convenient.
And if I wasn't, what would difference would that make?
Well, did you ever see Deliverance?
Of course.
You know what happened to that guy, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be you on the bottom.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. That's right, son. Yeah.
You're hilarious.
And I bet you wear the same.
Joke.
I bet you wear the same.
Can't be a real call.
Oh yeah.
You can't be. You got to be a joke.
Are you kidding with us or something, Mr. Dozier? About all of this stuff.
Nobody could be as cold-hearted.
Listen.
And ignorant.
Oh, what are you talking about? Have you got any kids? You got any kids, pussy?
Look, I don't want to hear that word anymore. Okay.
You what?
I've got a child. My first child is scheduled to be born within 3 weeks.
Oh, what do you feel about the fact that kid couldn't care whether you live or die?
I know.
How do you think about that?
He's
still sitting inside your wife's womb, and he cares about you. You know something, John? That kid doesn't care if you were getting run over by a truck tomorrow.
You are so wrong.
You know, how does the kid know you? Wait a second. Is the kid telepathic?
Listen here.
Oh, man, I'd love it.
It's no wonder why God loves screwing with you.
What happens if you get a fire axe in your garage?
No wonder why God loves screwing with you. screwing with you.
Hey, God's screwing with you. You think your kid loves you, and he doesn't even know
you. I got a great life,
God,
pal. I love my life.
He's messing with you,
do us all a favor and end it, man.
How do you feel about it, man? God's screwing with you.
You are hilarious.
Your kid's probably dumber than my grandson.
You're like a cartoon character.
Honest to God, your kid's probably dumber than my grandson.
All right, this is going nowhere. You guys are just calling each other names. It's boring for the audience.
No, his kid is probably... Hey, John, your kid's probably dumber than my grandson.
All right, I'm hanging up on this guy, and unless you get it under control...
I just want to tell that guy one thing. I hope his kid grows up big enough and strong enough to kick his dad's ass off of a freeway overpass one night. As they're strolling along, talking about life, I hope the kid just turns and kicks his dad into traffic. Oh, I'd love to see it. Oh, God.
You know something?
No. I don't want you to tell me nothing. I don't want you to tell me nothing. I'm going to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday. And no count, two-bit Georgia fag is going to...
All right, that's it. One more, and I'm hanging up. Donna, go ahead. Donna?
Yeah.
You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Phil. The point I want to make is it's not about the grandchild. It really is about your daughter, and it's about your wife, and it's showing them that you love them.
Right. See how selfish they are?
See how loving you are, and you know what else? I'll tell you what.
I bet you anything, that football
game is going to be on the television at the hospital.
So you're
going to get a win-win situation where you're going to get to watch your show and support your wife.
What about watching the game at the hospital, Vernon?
Okay, let me explain something to the lady and to you.
My name's Donna. No. Sure.
Okay, Donna. First of all, when you watch the Super Bowl, you do it with beer. You do it with food, finger foods and hot dogs and whatnot. In the hospital, there ain't no bar. I don't know whether you've been to a hospital lately, but they don't sell beer there. Number two, I'm not watching the Super Bowl eating candy out of a machine. And number three, I'm not watching the Super Bowl with the stupidest human being that I've ever met in my life, my son-in-law. That's not going to happen. I would rather strangle myself with my belt.
Okay, a question.
In front of my daughter and wife.
I understand your feeling towards your son-in-law. It's very negative. However, if you don't support his wife, whom he loves, you will never live it down. Ever.
Can I just tell you something?
Is that true or not?
Okay, I'll answer your question if you just listen to one thing.
Sure.
My daughter married an a-hole who named my grandson Dylan. Not Vernon, Dylan.
Oh. I'm so sorry he didn't name him after you.
Well, why are they naming it after an alcoholic who's with his third wife going through the Panama Canal right now?
Wait a minute. You just told me you were an alcoholic.
Yeah, but this guy's living it up like he don't know he's got an alcohol problem, and he's got this piece-ass wife with the collagen lips.
All right, now I need for you to remember you're talking to a lady.
That has nothing to do with you, and your daughter.
Right.
Okay.
Listen to what Donna's saying is, forget about the stupid son-in-law, forget about the stupid everybody, the daughter who you love.
Because let me tell you something.
And your wife. You love your wife, huh?
Will you people quit yelling at me?
Vernon, I'm sorry. Listen, you got to hear this because I'll tell you why.
Calm it down.
Let me tell you,
I got a blood pressure problem that the doctor, I've been on two beta blockers.
Vernon, I understand you're very worried that you're going to die soon.
Oh, I know I'm going to die.
Okay, Vernon, listen to me.
Yeah.
If you support your daughter, when you die, she will love you. But if you don't support your daughter, when you die, she'll say, yeah, and he didn't even come to my son because of the football game.
Can I ask a question at this point?
It's not going to be worth it.
If I die and my daughter still loves me, how am I going to know it? I'm going to be dead.
Well, if you
it's
go
not
going to
be any good
her,
to me.
She loves you. She
I don't
help
care.
Love
she loves you, okay?
It ain't going to do me any good if I'm croaked. Are you people crazy? And that Boyle guy's on a cruise drinking a cocktail with an entire banana sticking out of it. You know that?
I'm talking about
you want me
soul.
To sit in a hospital that smells like hobo urine while that guy's down on a cruise to the
Panama? Vernon, I don't care about that guy, and neither do you.
Donna, that's a very good advice you gave him, and I thank you for your call, okay? 1-800-449-8686. You know, she's really like...
Oh, yeah, here you go. I'm going to be in a hospital that smells like five different varieties of piss. Okay. While my son-in-law runs his mouth, and I want to hurt him so bad.
I think you're stressed out, man.
Oh, really? Did you? How'd you just figure that one out? Or
no, it sounds to me. And don't be sarcastic, okay?
I'm stressed out, really. I didn't think of that. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so glad I'm the guest on a God-blessed talk show.
Sheila, go ahead.
Yes, I have a similar point to Donna's. I really think you should be there to support your daughter, and she's the one who needs your love and support. And I don't understand why it seems like you are more interested in smiting God and making a joke out of God than you are about supporting your daughter who needs your love and support.
You want me to go down and support my daughter so God can get his kicks laughing at me? Okay.
No, I want
you to go down and support
your daughter because she needs you right now.
Sheila, the only thing my daughter wants out of me is a check for a couple of $1,000. Occasionally give her a loan so she can, you know, make their mortgage payment. Occasionally give her a loan because she saw a dress she wanted. Occasionally buy some toys for the kids. That's all she wants out of me, okay? I know how the game's played. And all I want is for on Sunday afternoon to sit down and watch the Super Bowl. Now, if you and Mr. Henry really want me to go to the hospital, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll do it. I'll go down to the hospital. I'll sit and I'll smell the urine. I'll talk to that son-in-law. I'll take a look at the kid in the glass who doesn't know me from a lump of turd in his diapers. And I'll do it all because you people browbeat me into it. Both of you and everybody that I've talked to tonight can go straight to the hot spot. Damn it!
Well, listen to that. He just hung up.
Okay.
This is a psycho.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me, is he psycho or what?
I would be pretty concerned about his mental state if I were anyone in his family.
I wouldn't even want to say that he has a mental state. I think it's completely, you know... This is a guy...
You know, and every argument that somebody came up with that was like a different, better argument, then he would just turn it back to, well, fine, then it's, you know, something else, or then I, you know,
well,
fun of me. Or...
Obviously, he lost some... Okay, wait a minute. Have you called back, sir?
I wanted to say something.
Oh, you're not going
to
hang a phone up on me, though. If you hang his phone up on me one more time...
My son-in-law impregnated my daughter with a grandson that right now looks like a piece of cheese, and you want me to go down and...
But that's a hell of a thing to say about your grandson.
Plus, you want me to miss the Super Bowl commercials, which everybody talks about the next day.
I don't think anybody wants you to miss the Super Bowl commercials. They just don't want you to miss out on the...
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Daughter.
What are you doing Sunday?
Probably grocery shopping.
Are you a married woman?
No, I'm not.
May I ask you how old you are?
Not, you know, you can, but I don't see how it's relevant.
I wanted to know if you'd like to have a drink.
No, I'm not interested in a drink, thank you.
I was just asking. I don't think it's a war crime. Are you over 18?
I guess she is if she's going grocery shopping. And what are you asking her out for a drink for?
I want to have somebody to watch the Super Bowl with.
Get out of here! I'm sorry, Sheila.
I'd much rather support your daughter at the hospital than watch the Super Bowl with
her. Well, I tell you what, I'll give you the address, okay? I hope you're very happy together. Okay.
God! All right, look at... Sheila, I thank you very much for your very kind comments and your attempt to help.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
See ya. Vernon Dozier, who I believe, and I will now make this statement publicly, I do believe he is mentally disturbed. I do believe he's mentally disturbed. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Naked.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, listen, I am going to be at the Anaheim Convention Center on Saturday, February the 7th, doing something that they asked me, would you be interested in doing this, Phil? I said, yeah, I would. I think that would be fun. I've never been asked to do anything like this, but it's basically to read kids' stories to kids. It's going to be at a thing called Yeah, Baby. Now, what is Yeah, Baby? It's the world's largest baby and family expo. And my very good friend, Mr. Newman here, whose wife is expecting the baby due on April the 14th, he's already said, I'd like to go, Phil. Can you get me free tickets? And I said, yes, I can. So anyway, so he's too cheap to... No, I'm just kidding. But Mark's going to go. If you're an expecting father or mother or the two of you together, family, you might want to come down. They're going to have all kinds of baby stuff. They'll feature 200 booths and exhibits, family entertainment, all kinds of jazz like that. You know, kind of a day for the family. And in any event, I'm going to be there. And I'll also have my best of CD, so we'll try to raise a little bit of money for my friend's place. Because when we sell the CD, that's for the kids down there, and that's a resource center for the homeless and runaway kids. So once you have your baby and then you abuse it, then it runs away and goes to my friend's place. So we can kind of get you on both ends of this thing, see? Huh? Huh? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I know you're a good mom and dad. Yeah, right. Okay. So you come on down to Yeah, Baby at the Anaheim Convention Center. It's going to be on Saturday the 7th. Have $10 in your hand, come on in, bring the kids, otherwise who am I going to be reading to, right? If only adults show up and I'm sitting and I'm looking at a bunch of, like, 35-year-old guys in Buffalo Bill shirts sitting on the floor cross-legged, I'm going to really, really be angry. Anyway, we'll be reading to the kids in the Celebrity Reading Corner. Children 10 and under will get in free. Admission's $10. You can pick up a coupon good for half-off admission at participating Babies R Us locations. The tickets are available for purchase at the Anaheim Convention Center box office beginning at 8 a.m. the morning of the event. For more information and for parking instructions, go to www.yabbabyexpo.com. And also, want to tell you about our Best of CD, which you can pick up there, or you can buy it on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. The money that we raise goes to my friend's place. It is a resource center for homeless and what I call throwaway kids. They're in Hollywood, California, but they're way at the other end of Hollywood. They're almost into East Hollywood. They're on the freeway, okay? They're in the least glamorous spot of Hollywood because that's where the kids wind up who either come out here or leave home hoping for some kind of a life. I'm not sure what. On the streets of Hollywood. The money that we raise goes to help that resource center. It buys food. It buys some of the first aid supplies, clothing for the kids. Cirque du Soleil operates a workshop that is, I'm just blown away. These cats run a workshop for the kids there where they can learn magic. There's also computers for job outreach. There's also job counseling. There's school counseling. There's places where they can just sit down and get off the street. It's an amazing place. And we'd love for you to pick up our CD, and it'll help them out. Coming up, we got Joe Dickhead's pick for the Super Bowl. What's it gonna be, baby? Jeff Dotter is going to tell us how we can travel to Mars within weeks. And even news pro hockey players can understand. Coming up on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know that movie actor Tom Sizemore? Remember the guy? He was bugging to Heidi Fleiss. I guess he's still doing it. This guy is the guy who was in... I remember him from Saving Private Ryan. He played the sergeant, and then he was also in... He was in a flick called... That Dolliver Stone pile called Natural Born Killers, and he played Jack Scagnetti, who was this whack cop, and you know who Tom Sizemore is, right? He was in Heat. He's fun to watch. He's good. But off the screen, the guy's a real piece of work. According to page 6 of the New York Post, Sizemore's still bugging Heidi Fleiss. Fleiss talked to the New York Post. She said that he came around to her house. He showed up at the house last week. He looked like a homeless guy. Here's the part that I thought was interesting. He said to her that he didn't want to go to jail for 4 months because he had been bothering her and threatening her and this kind of stuff. And she said, try 3 years, because she went to jail for being a madam or something, a house of prostitution. Fleiss called the cops, and they asked him to pick Sizemore up. He's facing jail time for beating her up And meanwhile, she's opening up a sex shop. So everybody's life is doing very good. She's opening up a sex shop. He's going to go to the joint. He's crying. And he's acting like, you know, like most of these guys when they lose their sweetheart. You ever love these guys that are all bawling about losing their girlfriend? Did you ever do that? I did when I was very young. When I was very young and real stupid, I would just, oh, baby, please. I did that, you know. And then I finally went, oh, my God, Henry. One night, I'm going to tell you a story because you're going to love this story. One night, I was living in an apartment in Orlando, Florida. And I was in my 20s, and I was on the radio down in Orlando, and just I had two roommates, and we were all just living our, you know, living our life. You know what you do in your 20s? You basically have for dinner like a six-pack of Bud, and you go out to the local club, and whoever's there, you meet, and you have fun, and you, you know, get a variety of diseases. And, well, you know, it's just, it's great. And I knew a girl. Her name was Mary. She was my girlfriend, and we lived together for a year. But anyway, we had broken up, and one night, I'm laying in bed, and I'm ready to fall asleep. And I hear outside my window is the parking area of this apartment complex, typical singles apartment complex. I hear this guy going, no, please, no, don't do it, no. I mean, it was the most pathetic wailing, the most utterly unconsolable voice you ever heard in your life. And the way the guy was screaming, oh, God, no! I'm thinking, this guy's getting stabbed. He's getting knifed or something. There's an assault going on. So I called the cops. Me and about five other of my neighbors, too, had called, heard this guy, please don't! You know? I'm going, good God, this poor guy. So I go, yeah, I think there's an assault going on. And you can hear the 911 operator just,
running in a man, a 911 assault, and a guy sounds like a queer, you know.
So anyway, and here comes the Castleberry, Florida cops. They come screaming in, man. Guy goes, where is he? You know how cops are when they're on a call like that? They're just waiting. They're just you know, go, let me at him. And by then the guy was gone. And my neighbors are milling around, but nobody that I really knew, and everybody went back in their apartment. I went back, and I went, wow, that was scary. So anyway, I drop off to sleep. The next day, I go to work. I was working at a radio station there, and one of my ex-girlfriend, Mary, one of her friends calls me. Her name was Sheila,
and it's down in Florida. So all the chicks I know, they talk like this, you know. Hey, Phil.
Hey, I had to dump it. Let me start all over again. I mean, I had to dump myself because I actually accurately quoted what Sheila said.
She said, hey, Phil.
I said, how you doing, Sheila? What's up?
You see here about last night?
I said, no. What happened last night?
Mary beat the crap out of a guy.
Mary beat the crap out of a guy? You mean my ex-girlfriend, Mary?
That's right.
What the hell happened? Well, it turns out that she was seeing some guy that lived in this apartment complex. And she told him that night, get lost, I don't want to be with you anymore. And as she's going out to her car, the guy's following her going, no, please! And she turned around, and at one point, my neighbor from across the way, some guy from Philadelphia, you know, a guy, I don't know, his name was Steve, he goes, hey, she's tough, Phil. Hey, she's tough, man. Because he saw her knee this guy right in the crotch as she got into her car, and he just crumples to the ground after going, no, please don't. That guy wasn't being stabbed. He was whining about some chick leaving him. Now do you see what I'm saying? And this guy, have a little self-respect. Some of these guys that I understand being sad. I get it. I know being heartbroken, it's tough. Have a little freaking self-respect. Remember what the Four Seasons said, walk like a man. Even though the lead singer in that band sounded like he was missing both testicles. Now, this guy Sizemore shows up and he's squealing and crying and whining. Go to jail and do your 4 months like a man. You're not going to get raped in prison. You're a movie star. They don't allow it to happen to actors, just regular people like me. Okay? What are you afraid of, Sizemore? Go to prison like a man. Do your four months like a man, and then come out of there. Nobody's going to want to go after your rear end, okay? They're going to probably put you in some kind of solitary because you're a movie star, so they got to protect you, because if you got violated, then you'd come out and scream about it, and then they'd all have big problems, and guys couldn't, you know, have sex inside the joint, and things would be really bad, and that whole anti-rape law that Bush is actually going to sign, you know, that might even actually get some get rolling, and people might care about, you know, rape in prison, which they don't. Do you realize that Bush is the very first president to address the problem of prison rape? He's trying to sign a bill to actually have it outlawed. Now, Personally, I think that's a good idea. I don't know about you. See, a lot of people's attitude is, well, in prison, who cares what happened to those guys? They're scumbags, and I hope they all die, right? Which I agree with up to a point, but I also know where I live. I live in America. I don't live in Turkey. And even our prisons should be operated in a professional and relatively humane, as far as it goes, way. If a guy's a murderer and the guy has been given life in prison, you stick him in a cage, you hose him down once a day. If he gets to go out and see some sunlight, okay, fine, but that's the end of his life. Does it necessarily mean he has to endure daily rape? As a civilized human being, I would say no. As a civilized man and an American, both of which I'm very proud of, I would say no. But that's just me, see? I don't really press for these things. But President Bush is actually the very first president to address this, and he has some kind of anti-prison rape legislation. So, Sizemore, you got even that going for you. So get away from this chick, you idiot. Haven't they told you 50 million times to stay away from this skank? Get away from her. Surrender yourself to the authorities. Go on inside, and then you'll come out, and you can swagger around like you're a badass, just like Sean Penn and that other fruitcake. What's that guy?
Tommy Lee.
Oh, Tommy Lee didn't go to the... Did he go to jail? No, I'm talking about the other... Oh, yeah. Downey. That nut. You can swagger around like you've been inside, and you can act like a hard ass, and it'll probably help you in many of your challenging film roles yet to come. All right, 1-800-449-8686. But Heidi, when you get that sex shop opened up, give us a call. We'd like to do a remote broadcast. That is, if you'll give us free stuff. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we have news that even pro hockey players can understand. We also have another edition of How to Read a News Story. Oh, my God, they're coming fast and furious, these news stories that are just incredibly worded so that, you know, you'd swear to God it was thrown out by a PR person rather than a reporter. Also, Joe Dickhead's pick and a couple of flashbacks from Bobby Dooley and Ted Bell. All coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I think I'll go for a walk out.
It's time now for a walk down memory lane on The Phil Hendry Show. This is where our listeners will write in and ask for a bit that they heard once before. We're going all the way back to June of 2002. That's almost 2 years ago for this one. Andrew Ranum calls us, or writes us, and says, on the walk down memory lane, could you play the one where Bobby Dooley was talking about her son, I think Seth, and he was driving over a cliff and landing on the tards. That was the best bit. All I remember was Bobby saying, it must have been priceless to see the tards running. I was driving and laughing so much I had to pull over because I could not see because of the tears running down my face. I'm a longtime backstage pass listener and have looked for this bit but could not find it. Love the show and the backstage pass, Andy. We have it, Andy. This is from June of 2002. Bobby Dooley and her son Seth, who actually was in a Durango that went out of control, and here's what happened.
I would like to address you from one mother to another, how sad I am that you are allowing your son to use this cop-out to not be a responsible person.
I told him to stay away from this Russell boy.
Well,
he's not allowed to go near him.
You should have done a better job.
Well, you know, we sat down and we talked.
Bottom line is, your son is responsible for his actions, no one else. He was behind the wheel. He's the one
that
stuck the keys in the ignition and turned it on, and he's the one that drove. Don't tell me, honey.
How do you figure that he's responsible, honey?
Why are you calling her honey?
He's driving the vehicle. How do you figure he's not, honey?
Wait a second. Oh, so now you're going to call me honey?
Well, if you want to call me honey, I'm going to call you honey.
Oh, you know something? You're really pissing me off. And number
one,
you
know what?
Are you
a
mother?
I'm sure you really upset the people whose children were sitting at that picnic table,
too. That counselor who put those retarded kids on a highway to have their cookie snack.
Whoa, you are rude. Calling these children a name like that? They have no control over what is the matter with them.
I didn't say that they did.
That is something, you don't call them a derogatory name like that.
Your
son is. Your son was behind the wheel. Your son put the key in the ignition.
How's that his fault?
Your son is responsible for his
actions.
How's that
Are
his
you
fault?
Telling me that somebody stuck their foot on his foot and pushed the gas down? That makes it not his fault?
Yes, Greg Russell exerted peer pressure. And these retards...
Was his exertion of peer pressure his foot on your son's foot?
Yes. Now, the retards that were in the...
Over on your son's foot.
Yes.
Is that what you're telling me? That he stuck his foot across the center console and put his foot on your son's foot?
Spiritually and psychologically, yes.
Oh, please.
Look,
what are you brainwashed
you by? You don't park a group of retards near a road and expect them not to be nailed by a flying Dodge Durango.
Well, what the hell was the Durango doing flying? Think about it.
Because Greg Russell forced him to go airborne.
How ignorant do you have to be to not realize that your son is responsible?
Don't you understand that your son was the one who, just as the lady said...
Phil, I won't be yelled at. I've been through enough.
Nobody's yelling at you. We're trying to knock some sense into your head.
And the police impounded the car, which is absolutely outrageous. Now he has to take
the bus. It was a crime, woman. What do you think they were going to do?
Give it back to my boy. It wasn't his fault. Let the Russell boy's car be impounded. And my boy gets
to let me ask you something.
My boy
when his friends say, hey, this will be fun, let's go in and rob the store.
Yeah.
And while you're at it, shoot the guy in the head. Is that going to be not his fault, too, because, oh, they told him to do it?
It depends on the circumstance.
Oh,
if
no,
you
it
call
does
a
not
kid,
depend.
If you call a kid pizza face.
You're lacking in parental experience and knowledge.
If you call a kid pizza face,
could not
and
raise
he shoots
child
you,
to
I think
have enough
that.
Self-esteem
oh, my
to
God.
Say no.
No, that's exactly right. And what do you mean it was funny watching those poor retarded children scatter?
My
you know
son,
what?
My son said it was humorous as the car was coming down. To see the kids trying to get away, they were in wheelchairs or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, if that's not guilt, I don't know what it is.
What's guilt?
Guilt.
He said it was funny. Thank God the children... Thank God they weren't hurt. They were just scampering away on artificial legs or whatever.
Well, what if one of them would have fallen down? You're a sick woman.
How do you figure that?
You need to be committed.
One of them's missing, by the way. They don't know. That's why they impounded the car, because they think the child... has somehow been wedged under the car. I don't know.
Well, my God, that's hilarious.
I mean, don't you think so?
No, she's being facetious.
What? You don't? Oh, you were joking.
I don't.
You don't think that's funny?
I'm talking about small children's lives, small children who depend on somebody else to take care of them. They have them out for an outing where they were supposed to have fun and be safe.
Okay.
And your son, because he is an idiot and can't say no, sticks his foot on the gas, and airborne's his car and lands on their table, and you're trying to blame it on somebody else?
All right, then let me ask you this.
If you do not make your son take responsibility for his actions, he will never take responsibility for his actions, and you will continue to be a complete menace to society.
Let me ask you this. Who's going to pay for the crutches that were taken? Well...
Couldn't hear that last line. Who's going to pay for the crutches that they took out of the wheel well? Was that the line? Yeah.
I think I'll go for a walk.
Yes, this week's Walk Down Memory Lane.
Sounds calling my name. I hear you now. I just
don't want to land on a table full of retards.
Some of those red.
Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Boy, you are insensitive, Henry. You don't know anything about mentally deficient or emotionally unstable, you know, that kind of a deal. You don't know anything about it. You make jokes about it, Phil. But what do you know about it, huh? You know something, folks? I don't know anything about it. No one in my family suffered from any kind of developmental disability. But I'd like to think that in some ways, I do. I really do. At 44, I married a woman with four kids. I don't think that's insane. I think that is the result of some kind of retardation. I just sort of wandered into her life, just going, "Hi, I'm Phil. Do you want to marry me? I have four kids." "Okay, let's go." I mean, you'd have to be. You'd have to be. "Hi, I'm Phil. You're pretty." "Thank you. I have four children. Want to marry me?" "Yes, I do." "Good. And also, could I have half your paycheck and half of your life?" "Yes, I do." "Okay, come on." "Yes, I do." You know, I just... And she wiped a little of the drool from me and made a man out of me. You know, that, by the way, that is based upon a real bit. My eldest son, not 1 week before that, was stopped for speeding on Canaan, which is over here near where we live. It's a large boulevard off of 101 on the way to Santa Barbara, north of Los Angeles. And I told the story at the time, and it bears repeating so you know where that bit comes from. It was my way of exercising very severe feelings that I had about the situation. We had just gotten a car for him 2 months before, and that night, it was a Friday night, I'll never forget it, that was the last night of his sophomore year, and that night there were, and that weekend there were tons of parties. There were tons of parties after sophomore year. And he gets nailed doing 81 miles an hour going up Canaan by the LA County Sheriff along with this other kid that he knows. Now, I'm on my way into the studio, and I said, well, you know, I don't know if you're like this. Sometimes I just get a sense. I think I'll call my wife, see how things are. So I called up Maria, and I get my daughter on her cell phone. She goes, hi. I said, hi, honey. Is Mommy there? No. Where is she? She's talking to the policeman. What policeman?
The one outside.
Why is Mom talking to the policeman?
Because of Nick.
Let me ask you this at this point of our conversation. Now, are you at the police station or are you out like on a street?
Out on a street.
So I find out that, you know, my wife gets called. The kid's a minor. He's been doing 81. It's a misdemeanor and it's an arrest. It's an arrestable misdemeanor if you are, if there's no adult. They would have taken him over to the youth facility, right? So 81 on a private street. Hey, look, let me tell you something. If you don't think that young men speed their cars, if you think, in other words, that there are some young guys that don't go fast in cars, think again, and doubly true for young girls. I mean, chicks. Am I kidding? Or you know, check me on this. Do women go ape in those freaking, especially when they're teenagers? They like go faster than any guy I ever knew. So, you know, I didn't want to come down too hard on the guy, but the other side of the coin is this. He could have died, he could have killed somebody, yada, 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 all that stuff. So that night I get home from work and I said, okay, here's the deal, man. You've lost the use of the car for, I forget how long, 30 days. You know, this we agreed upon it. And you're to stay in your room tonight. And I said to him, you know, you've never been in a jail cell, but I have. Believe me, it's a lot smaller than this. You're to stay in this room all night. And the only thing you got to drink is the water out of that sink in your bathroom. No food, nothing, right? And then you're also going to go to work to pay off the impound fee and to pay off any fines on the car. The impound was like $800. And you know what? He took it like a man. He sucked it up. He did it all, man. We made him pull weeds all freaking summer to pay off that $800 impound. Plus, he had a job up at a golf course. He had to give us every paycheck. Plus, the dude was grounded for this. I think we grounded him for the summer. So he had his car, but he had no social life. I forget. But I do know one thing. He said the worst thing that happened to him was that weekend, all the parties. And he missed every one of them. Him and that other kid, who's a great kid, by the way, who's also going to be playing for the University of California, Berkeley next season. I won't give you his name, lest anybody, you know, act like a jackass and write letters. Plus, I didn't give the real school that he's going to. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I just want to ask you a question. I got Jeff Dowder on the line from Caltech. Can you tell me, Jeff, if how long does it take, first of all, for a spacecraft to fly to Mars as opposed to just, oh, I don't know, I guess, I don't know what I'm thinking of, you know, but how long would men have to be in space?
Well, first of all, Phil, the trip to Mars is time-consuming because of the distance. We're talking about a distance of probably anywhere from, in terms of time, anywhere from 10 to 12 months, depending upon the position of Mars at that time as relationship to Earth. But it can be done, and it certainly can be done now with the new warp drive engines that they're working on at NASA through Teledyne, through Martin Marietta, and some of these other corporations. Also, Grumman has developed a warp coil using a dilithium crystal, which can also be utilized for this kind of travel, because we are approaching the time now where we could probably do
warp speed or time, you know, speed at the speed of light, or travel the speed of light.
By the way, I'm talking with Jeff Dowder from Caltech, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know any of the stuff. You can understand I'm not a scientist. When you say a warp coil...
Yeah, a warp coil is just a component of a advanced style engine using a highly dense piece of matter to drive or to hyperdrive the engine, and that is to extend the ability of the engine to travel at the speed of light. Now, we have not mastered, obviously, the ability to travel at the speed of light, but we're approaching that. And using these dilithium crystals, because they're so dense, you're able to approach the speed of light because matter becomes denser the closer to the speed of light that you get to it. But the dilithium crystal is a dense piece of matter right there, so you don't have to worry about or be concerned with yourself or anybody else, assuming that state. So the warp engine really mixes matter and antimatter into a fuel that causes a super acceleration, I guess, is what we're talking about.
All right, so using the, how long are we away from doing this?
Oh, I would say probably President Bush spoke of a major manned Mars mission, I believe, sometime in the beginning of the third decade of this century. So I would assume, 15 years or so, but we could certainly have that in a short period of time.
And how much would it cut down on a trip to Mars in terms of time? You're talking 10 to 12 months right now?
10 to 12 months right now, using a warp coil and using a matter-antimatter fuel, we could, I'm trying to do the math right now, increase the speed somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 and probably about 100,000 feet per second. You're talking about probably a trip to Mars taking no more than a week and a half.
Wow, that's the kind of space travel that I guess most of us regular people who are not educated would imagine. Because I spending months in space.
Well, it's not a practical thing. There's been discussions and a lot of science fiction theorizing about suspended animation, cooling the body temperature, and these kinds of things. I don't think that those are. I really think that that is strictly conversation for science fiction. We're talking about hard reality here, where you can utilize these warp coils, warp engines, dilithium crystals and the like to achieve a reality of space travel.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Eric. Hello, Eric. You're on with Jeff Dowder.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on what planet are we farming these dilithium crystals off of?
I don't understand.
Well, dilithium crystals is exactly what Captain Kirk uses to power his Enterprise with the warp coils.
So what is your point?
So my point is I want to dispute your credentials as being a Caltech person.
Captain Who are you talking about? Captain Who?
Captain Kirk. Of the TV
Captain
show?
Picard, yes, off the TV show. You're absolutely quoting all the information that a Trekkie would know, being a Star Trek enthusiast.
Let me ask you a question here.
Sure.
This guy is, what we're talking about is traveling to Mars. You're telling me this is stuff that's off a TV show?
It's possible that they're using, on a television show, things that are already known to scientists. I don't understand the man's call.
Well, just to make a simple fact here, Gene Roddenberry in 1967 was writing Star Trek.
The crystals I'm talking about regulate the matter-antimatter reaction, which in turn creates a massive energy.
Right, and that's what Gene Roddenberry's been saying since 1967.
And who is he?
He was the writer of a science fiction TV series.
I don't know.
Called Star Trek.
Gene Blueberry or whatever this guy's saying. But I'm saying.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, so what are you telling me, Eric, that this is stuff from a TV show?
Yeah, I'm telling you the gentleman from Caltech is quoting you facts that he's gotten off a TV show, and I doubt that he's actually attended any type of university or college.
Okay, well, I'm...
You know what? You could both go straight to the corner creation known as Hades. Good night.
Did he hang up?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I was just told to go to hell, I guess.
Was that the Caltech individual there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he was definitely...
I'm not familiar. I don't watch a lot of this kind of television. What you're telling me is the stuff that he was talking about was created on a science fiction TV show?
Yeah, there's a science fiction TV show that's been going on since the early...
Okay, 60s. Hold on for a minute, Eric. Did you call back, sir?
Yes, I did, sir.
Okay, if you want to stay on the air with me, then you hang up. Don't hang up on me.
Okay. I want to ask this gentleman, are you telling me that what I've been talking with Mr. Henry about was on a TV show with a man named Mr. Kirk?
Not only has it been on a TV show, but there are 5 movies, all titled Star Trek, Star Trek 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and Beyond, Space and Beyond, and so forth. This series has been on TV for 40 years. And all the information that you are giving the crowd here is from that show.
Are you on acid or something? You know what? Both of you can go to hell or the planet Kronos, which is very much like hell on account of smells like sulfur and rotten eggs. Good evening to you.
Okay. Eric, thanks a lot. I think I got my answer, man.
Hey, no problem.
Right, thanks. So Eric tells us that dilithium crystals don't exist. None of this stuff exists. Warp coil, none of that.
That's correct.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Yep.
Eric is a Star Trek fan who tells me that this doubter that I just had on is a liar because warp coils and dilithium crystals, they're not working on anywhere. That's all part of, that comes out of a script for a science fiction television show. So as far as, I apologize to my audience, and as far as we're concerned, I guess we're not going to be traveling to Mars at warp speed anytime soon. Yeah, you called back?
But live long and prosper, you jackass.
Okay, well, you know. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
From high atop the Las Vegas Strip, this is Joe Dickhead, Super Bowl Pick!
And I'm the professor. We're going to give you our Super Bowl pick on today's Joe Dickhead NFL Pick Show.
That's right, sports fans. The Super Bowl from Houston, Texas is coming up on Sunday, and I have got the information that will make you rich, that will make you rich beyond your wildest dreams. I have the definite block winner of the Super Bowl.
So get out your pens and your papers and get ready to write down the exclusive name that we're about to give you. That's...
must be the door.
Pardon me, folks, I have to get the door. Yes, sir, can I help you? I'm the professor.
And I'm Joe Dickhead. How are you?
Yeah, my name's Vernon Dozier, and,
Hey, wait a minute, didn't I just say you were on the Phil Henry Show?
Look, I'll do the talking, okay? Now, it turns out that I, took your advice on this season's games, and, funny thing happened, I lost a lot of money. Well, sir, everybody that's Joe Dickhead's picks, they make a lot of it. Why don't you just shut your mouth?
Hey, wait a minute, buddy. What is this all about? I'm on the air right now.
Shut up. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, dickhead. Been a long time since I've seen anybody look as good as you. You owe me. You owe me big. So I'll tell you what you're going to do, dickhead. Get him down. Say, wait a minute. You shut up. Get him down.
This is highly irregular. I'm on the radio right now. Please, don't do it. No, no.
That's right, you owe me 20,000 worth.
Yeah, 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 yeah!
Well, this is the professor, while Joe Dickhead takes it in the...
Oh, shut up!
Well, we gotta go now, thanks.
Yeah, that's it! Yeah! Yeah! Bacon time!
The presentation.
80 years.
All right. That's beautiful, huh? Joe Dickhead picks the NFL. Well, almost did until one of his disgruntled ex-customers came in and discovered him in arrears. Ooh! Got that one. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Don't forget the Best of Phil Henry Show CD is available. It's called The Death of Talk Radio. And all the money we raise goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless or runaway kids in Hollywood, California. So pick it up, man. It's on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. And also, if you'd like, you can call for it. And I had a number. What's the number, Chris? It's
877-616-7445.
Okay.
7445.
Beauty. So that's where you get it, man. Dean, you know, Howard, as in Dean Howard, you ain't got a prayer, baby. Drop out. You hear the guy's down to his last $5 million? You are done, man. Dean, let's just face it. You know what John Kerry did to you? All right. Kerry, look, Kerry's real. Kerry is a very real threat. I'm going to tell you this right now. John Kerry is a very attractive candidate. He's vague. He's got that military background. He, you know, he's kind of vague on Iraq. He didn't like it, but he does like it, and don't like this, but he does like that. He doesn't really, in other words, he doesn't have a really strong stand on national defense, but he does have that very attractive I'm for veterans thing, which always gets people right here. He'll never be able to look back at his own record and say he did anything on as a U.S. senator to help protect the country, but, you know. By the way, Janice gave me an amazing statistic today. Two dozen times, the United States government between 1996 and 2001, two dozen times the United States government requested the Taliban turn over Osama bin Laden. Now, that was between 1996 and 2001, so two dozen. That means that 21 of those two dozen times during the Clinton administration, President Clinton, who I voted for, Clinton asked the Taliban to turn him over. An additional three times, President Bush asked the Taliban to turn him over. Not only was the guy not turned over, but the Al-Qaeda plan to destroy the World Trade Center came to fruition. Okay? And as far as I can tell, and I could be wrong on this, so check this for me, the president that went over and kicked the little Taliban ass was Bush. I know what Clinton did. 23 times he asked it. Now, look, like I said, man, I got nothing against Clinton. I realize that it's you know, there's an old saying, hindsight is 20/20, and everybody's a Monday morning quarterback, and no greater Monday morning quarterbacks exist than the cats that are running for president on the Democratic side right now. Oh, yeah, I would have done it different. Yeah, sure you would. Wesley Clark, oh, yeah, yeah, let me tell you how it went wrong. Yeah, with the perspective of, like, 3 years from the event. Kerry, well, you know, as long as you're in Iraq, which I never would have thought we should do, but as long as you're there, let me tell you how to do that, too. In any event, John Kerry is, as far as bullcrapping an electorate goes, this cat is way better than Dean. Dean's a... Let me explain something to you. Dean is a babe in the woods. Dean is a... on the yard. Dean is a... in the shower. You know, the guy... Kerry is the guy with the experience. Kerry took Dean and punked him just over and over and over again. And then, what he said was, I would like you. Okay, forget it. I like these shows that are drop happy, you know? Hey, what do you think about that, Susie? Hi, everybody. Good morning. It's 5 minutes after the hour, and... Oh, that's right. It must be time for Farmer Brown. How you doing, Farmer Brown? Well, thanks a lot, everybody. Hey! KS time 6:03. So this cat, Kerry, is a beautiful thing. So the strongest case in the world can be made that it was a Democratic administration that caused 9/11 to happen. And I say that with the greatest of resentment, and because I'm one of those people that put that guy in office. And I'm not blaming Bill Clinton, but if you want to play that game, if that's what you want to do, if the guys that are running for president on the Democratic side right now, like Kerry, like Dean, like the rest of these, like that empty suit Wesley Clark, and man, that guy is an empty suit. If you want to play that blame game, baby, you know, there's enough blame to go around, for God's sake. I mean, go around. But Dean, you're done, baby. In fact, the guy never had a shot. I told you this, man, 4 or 5 months ago. I said, that guy hadn't got a prayer beating Bill Clinton. I mean, whatever the guy's name is. Bill Bush. Bob Clinton. What's his name? President Blob? He hadn't got a prayer. Now comes Kerry. Now that guy has a prayer. Kerry is going to be some serious stuff for the Republicans. He really is. He's got just enough, like I said, he's got that nice presidential look. I used to think that the guy looked a little bit like, you know, the first zombie that you see in Night of the Living Dead. You remember the first one that attacked the guy in the graveyard? That guy. But he's actually a guy with an attractive, you know, he's got that military background, which, you know, people love. He's got that inside the beltway experience that people say they don't like, but they ultimately vote for. He's got that whole demeanor which says, now, being ex-military, I got the whole thing figured out. And this guy, Bush, who doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground, does it all wrong, see? Yes, all wrong. What I would have done was, had I had the brains, and had I had the foreknowledge, and had I had, yeah, sure. That guy's going to be great. But Dean's done, Clark's done, that other guy's done. They ain't going to win jack squat. That nothing. He ain't going to win one more state. He won't even win in that. I mean, he might win in South Carolina, but that's about it. But anyway, how about that? They asked him to kick that guy out 24 times. 24 times. At what point do you finally say, what, the 10th time will do it, Bob? No, let's ask another 6 times, because I think number 18. Okay, here's number 18. Can we have Bin Laden back? No. I know. You know what we're going to do? We're going to wait for you guys to murder 3,000 of us. Then you'll see. Okay. Talk about... We got it that time. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So the conversation turned to Oliver Stone movies that really blow. And one of my cohorts here said The Doors, the movie The Doors. Now, I liked that movie, but it turns out that young Mr. Newman had an involved conversation one night, or one afternoon, or one morning, with Ray Manzarek, keyboard player for The Doors, who made it very clear that Oliver Stone butchered the story of The Doors beyond recognition. Just butchered it. And I'm more willing to believe Ray Manzarek than Oliver Stone. But I got to tell you, with all due respect, Val Kilmer was still outstanding, I thought. I never met Jim Morrison. I did see The Doors, and this will give you an idea. I'm not that old, but when I was 15, I saw The Doors at the Hollywood Bowl, the famous Hollywood Bowl show. I'm not just telling you I was there. I was there. In other words, I'm sure that a lot of people say, oh, yeah, this is the Hollywood Bowl night. The Doors play. It's pretty cool and everything. Oh, I got lockjaw. Got a little TMJ there, man? Here, let me just take this baseball bat. Oh, thank you. But I was there, and I remember because I was there with two of my friends, and we went with a couple of girls, one of whom was the niece of the late horror actor Lon Chaney. Yeah. She grew up with her in Arcadia. We were all a bunch of kids out there. Now, this Hollywood Bowl show was great because there were three acts, there were three bands that night. The opening band was Steppenwolf. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating when the conversation drifts around to The Doors, because you have to understand what happened that night. There were three bands that night. The opening act was Steppenwolf. They were coming off of Born to Be Wild in that first album. And those poor guys hit that stage, and the PA just crapped out on them. I'll never forget. As soon as they got into Born to Be Wild. Born to be... That was happening, and you're like ready to... I just felt bad for those guys. Because I loved Steppenwolf. And when they took the stage, I think there was still a little bit of daylight out. The second act that took the stage that night was a group called the Chambers Brothers. And if you remember a song called Time Has Come Today, it was a huge 11-minute... psychedelic kind of thing. And these guys were intense, and they just about stole the night. That's how good they were. I mean, the crowd was standing on top of anything they could stand on top of, dancing, screaming, singing. Man, they had that audience amped, and people could have gone home that night and been satisfied. And then came the Bloody Doors. And, you know, with the, you always have to wait like a half hour. What is that about? Show starts at 9. I went down here one time to see the B-52s. Remember them? Down at the Roxy, right when they came out. Show's supposed to be coming on at 9. It's like 10:30. They finally dragged their Georgia asses out of there. But, of course, they were so phenomenal that you didn't care. And the guy, the lead singer, the back goes, "Hi, y'all, we late." So anyway, here come the Doors, and they were terrific. Two things stood out about that night. A nude guy had climbed over the wall. There's a wall behind the Hollywood Bowl, and it's a green wall to the right if you're looking out from the audience. And as the Doors were singing, a nude guy, stark naked, crawled that wall, came over that wall, and came out onto the stage and stood there. And Morrison turned to his left and saw the guy and walked over and shook his hand and then went back and kept on singing. And then you see security. Not knowing, I don't know, they thought that this was part of the act or something. This guy was stark naked, just walked out. He's watching this. And Morrison goes over, shakes his hand. And then the second thing that I remember about that night is somebody, for some reason, turned the lights on at the Bowl. And I think it was because they were probably busting somebody somewhere. And Morrison made a point of saying, "Please turn the lights down." And then and he asked politely, "Please turn the lights down." And then the third time, of course, became the sort of standard rock admonition, "Turn down the effing lights." And he's at the top of his lungs said it, right? And but the show was great. But musically, the Doors on stage are just a keyboard and a guitar and drums. There's no bass. So it kind of comes off sounding like this. The organ sounds real Calliope-like, man. It's nothing like today's modern 85. But on stage that night were the most amps that they ever had on stage at the Hollywood Bowl up to that point. And I don't know how many there were. Everything's so different now, but back then they were using amps. You probably know, Chris. What were those things?
It was like a Marshall stack, probably.
Yeah, well, but they had 60 of them.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And they said that broke the record set by the Rolling Stones 2 years before. They had like 55 or something, all on stage behind them. So that's the story that I have about the Hollywood Bowl and the Doors that night, other than to say that they stacked the parking at the Hollywood Bowl, which really pisses me off, meaning you can't get your car out until the guy behind you moves his, you know, that kind of parking. So let me just say this. There's somebody out there, perhaps still alive, who may remember leaving the Hollywood Bowl that night with tire treads over the top of their car. That would have been me. That would have been me driving out of there. 1-800-449-8686. Got a little flashback with Ted Bell, and we also have news that even pro hockey players can understand. And in a moment, another chapter in how to read a news story here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Yesterday, Ted Bell was with us, the owner of Ted's at Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Ted ran over a poodle with his son's motorcycle. He blamed his son initially, but then admitted he had done it because he hates poodles. Anyway, let's listen to the rest of the story.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay, I have owned pets in the past. I don't have one now.
Yes,
and they've been hit by cars. You know, it's back to life. I even ran over my own dog with a pickup by accident, didn't kill it. And I've been riding motorcycles for over 30 years.
There you
go. I'm 48 years old. And Mr. Bell, you have no respect for nobody other than yourself, not even your son. You said you were embarrassed to be around him because he stuttered? Sir, I don't know you, but I can tell by you listening to you on the radio, you are a jerk.
Wait,
I don't care if you own a restaurant. I don't care how much money you have. You disrespected the person that you call gay. I don't care if the man is gay. It doesn't matter.
I don't either. It was a living animal,
and you purposely ran it over. I think you should be taken to court.
Wait a second.
You should spend time in jail.
What right does this guy have to not know who I am? That's number one.
I don't care who you are.
This was one of those shaved poodles, and nothing pisses me off.
I don't care. I hate poodles. But I would not kill one on purpose because the owner made me mad.
I was trying to...
You're not a man. Cheat on a man. Some man makes you mad, you're going to kill his dog?
Well, wait a minute. Isn't this kind of like the pot calling the kettle black? You're the one that used your own dog as a speed bump, not me. Can I ask you something?
You are a moron.
Let me ask you a question.
Can
I come over to your house and run your dog over? It sounds like fun.
Okay, see what you're doing now is you're trying to be a smartass. This man's calling with questions.
Well, no, he's the guy that's calling me. Okay. He ran his own dog over, and he's calling up and ripping on me?
By accident,
I did it by accident. I didn't do it by purpose, and the dog lived for some years after that, you idiot. Sometimes by accident.
Yeah, in chronic pain.
You know, look how you twist things. You know, you should be a politician.
You said the dog lived a number of years after that,
and the dog had chronic pain. You blamed it on your son. And then you're going to say it's all his fault because you let it out.
All right, hold on,
Darwin.
Hold on, Darwin. Mr. Bell, you admit you purposefully targeted this animal because the owner pissed you off for not knowing who you were.
That is correct.
Now,
look, Phil, no son of mine is going to take over my business with a stutter. It's not going to happen. Now, he'll ride that damn motorcycle until he's confident. And if a few poodles go down, then that's the way that's the way life goes. And I'm sorry about the dog.
So, anything for your little boy, including the death of someone's beloved pet?
You know, Henry, you are so hooked up like this guy with the animals' rights deal. You guys are with PETA, right? Are you with PETA, Darwin?
Oh, I am not with PETA at all, Phil.
Well, you're talking...
And I feel sorry for your son for having you as a father.
What? You're talking
if you're
just...
the one teaching him how to be a man, I really feel sorry for him.
You're trying to tell
and
me...
You know what? If he was in my area of the country, I would teach him how to ride a bike, and I would teach him what a real father is supposed to be. Not even, obviously not you.
It was the first time I'd been on a motorcycle. Can you blame me?
Who cares? No, I blame you because you did it on purpose. If it was an accident, no, I wouldn't blame you. You said you did it on purpose. And then you're going to blame it on your son. Oh, my son could have been killed. What is that? You're a complete ass.
My son is not taking over a business, talking like one of those guys. Marty Robbins.
You're not teaching how to run a business. I can imagine if he runs a business like you do this, I can imagine his employees.
Well, I can tell you this much, Mr. Darwin. You should stick to the theory of evolution and leave raising my son to me.
What do you mean, theory of evolution?
His name's Darwin, isn't it?
My name is Darwin. It has nothing to do with the theory of evolution, Teddy.
Hey, your voice is getting pretty tight there, Darwin. Are your pants too tight?
All right.
Phil?
Yes, sir.
It's kind of nice that you got some moron like this on the radio, because I was starting
to get tired. Don't talk about me like I'm not here.
I don't know how you get around
here. Okay,
day
that's
day.
It. You're 86.
You're a brain dead idiot.
You know something,
Phil,
sir? You
really
are 86 from all of my restaurants.
You have this moron on
the
radio.
Excuse me, Dagwood Blondie's calling you. Hey, Dagwood.
I haven't talked to anybody that's stupid in a long time.
Yeah, why has he got you on the phone?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
There he is, Darwin and Ted Bell. He ran over someone's poodle on their motorcycle. 1-800-449-8686. You know what's happening on Sunday, of course, is the Super Bowl. And why do I bring up big screen TVs at a time like this? Well, I think it's obvious. As a matter of fact, the supply of big screen TVs, baby, it's dwindling. As we speak, because people can't get enough of them big screen TVs. They want to sit, they want to park it, they want to watch the Super Bowl on the big, giant, ever-increasingly large, swelling, swollen, rock-hard, throbbing, big plasma TVs. $3,500 worth of TV. I'm reading about these. And then a guy, you know, you love this. Hey, I'm having a Super Bowl party at my house. Do you got a big screen? Well, I mean, no, but I've got three really good digital TVs. Well, you know, so-and-so is having it at his house. Let's go over there. Yeah, okay. Now, for the third year running, we're going to have the Super Bowl at our house. We're going to have a little Super Bowl get-together. And for the third year running, all I got are my three stinking Sony Trinitrons. And I feel like a man with a little tiny one. I do. I feel all of a sudden like I'm not worthy because I don't have your freaking plasma TVs. I feel sad and I feel, under-endowed. And I want one so bad I can taste it. I want that and I want a yacht. But, you know. January is traditionally the slowest shopping month of the year, but the Super Bowl and new digital technology has turned the month into a retail event. All of these big screen TVs, 52-inch projection screen is $1,300, but you can get a 50-inch plasma TV for a 52-inch LCD in the $3,500 range. You can't get any plasma TV for $3,500, but you can get a LCD. A 50-inch plasma costs $9,000. Do you recall when the VCRs first came out? I don't know if anybody out there, you young people who are with me here in the studio, you guys don't remember, but a lot of the old creeps that are listening to me, you guys remember when the VCRs were like nine bills, right? You waited long enough, now you can get one for what, $40? Do you think the plasma TVs will come down like that? They got to, right? I ain't going to run out and spend nine grand, almost a king grand on a plasma TV so I can sit there and feel like I got friends, so I can buy friends. I mean, I'm lonely, but I'm pathetic, but I don't believe I'm that pathetic. They're going to come to my house, they're going to watch them on my Trinitrons, and they're going to like it. I got two really cool TVs and a little billiard table, and what's wrong with that? You know, my fondest memories are sitting at the old bar with my elbows on the bar and a beer in front of me and watching a little freaking TV up in the corner of the bar. You're watching a ball game or something like that, right? Not some big-ass television. I hate those projection TVs with a bloody passion. We got another TV that my kids watch, and that's a big piece of crap. It's actually okay, but it's one of those TVs that, unless you're sitting at the right angle, it's all wrong. And why did I buy it? Because there was a big cabinet that was built in our house that would accommodate a TV that size. And it turns out the TV that it would accommodate is the worst piece of garbage they make. I don't know, something called a Panasonic? I'm joking. Which it actually is not that great. No, Panasonic's fine.
Could you check to see if they're a sponsor?
They're great. They're not? They suck. With the emergence of high-definition movie and sports broadcasts, it's easy to understand why so many consumers are excited. Well, let me give you guys a word of advice, all right? If you spend $9,000 for a plasma television, you ought to be taken out and given, I mean, mandatory electroshock. You seriously should be given insulin shock, because it's $9,000 is too much to pay for a piece of entertainment equipment. It will come down in price. It's going to come down. It will, man. It'll take a few years, but it will. Until then, just watch the freaking bloody color thing that you got, or the black and white, or whatever you've got. And by the way, you know how everybody bitches about how movies are colorized? You remember when they had that whole thing in front of Congress? And I think I even saw Woody Allen, who I guess is an artiste too. You know, he used to be just a comic. Woody Allen used to be a funny guy, but somewhere along the line he became a filmmaker, and boy did he ever become a ponderous pain in the ass. Did he ever become dull. When Woody Allen became a filmmaker, anyway, he's standing there in front of Congress and he says, and the colorization of movies is a terrible tragedy. And I'm thinking, all I got to do is walk over to my TV set and blink the color stuff off and it's black and white again. That's all you got to do. Woody is telling them to turn it off their TV. So if you don't want it colorized when you rent it, just turn down the color and it'll be black and white. Why don't you tell them that in front of Congress, you dumbass, instead of crying about it?
I think we should let people know that there's a switch on the TV that they can make it black and white.
Well, yes, Mr. Allen, thank you.
All right.
And then he just leaves, and it's not a pain in the ass like he was. But everybody's getting excited about that. 9 G's, huh? Woo-hoo! Time is as much a factor as price. The Super Bowl comes long enough after the holiday shopping season for consumers to assess expenses. But for the indecisive, there's a nudge. We plan our promotional events around the Super Bowl, says John so-and-so, merchandise manager for some dump. Even computer makers, including Dell and Gateway, are producing televisions in a bid to extend market share. What's high-definition television? Isn't it what I already own? I think it's what I already own. I got a Sony Trinitron, which supposedly is the best of its kind, and I think that's a high-definition television. I just don't know how good it's supposed to be. I don't know how good I'm supposed to get it. I don't know what, you know, how fast I'm supposed to get it. I don't know how often I'm supposed to get it. I don't know how good it should feel when I get it. I just know that everybody tells me I ought to get it more than I'm getting it. And I'm frankly getting tired of, I can't keep up anymore. I can't keep up anymore, man. I got the phone. I got the car. I got the house. What else have you got? Good God Almighty, I just got my cell phone. Now I want to get that cell phone with the picture taking. Of course, that's fantastic. I got to get that. When we were at that thing, the morning show boot camp in Atlanta, everybody there had one, man. I said, I got to get that. I still ain't gotten around to getting that. Then I want to go and I want to get, what else is the deal? Oh, yeah. I want to get 85 different versions of TiVo, man. I don't just want TiVo. I want to be able to record stuff that isn't on the air yet. I want to record programs that haven't been invented yet. When are they going to get that? I'm demanding it. I've got money. I got nothing but money, and I want to spend it on high-end toys. Now, let's go. By the way, have they got that SUV? Have they got a Rolls-Royce SUV yet? No? Why, that's a war crime. When's Rolls-Royce coming out with an SUV? When? Because if they don't, I'm going to the headquarters of Rolls-Royce with a loaded shotgun and take somebody hostage until they do. I want a Rolls-Royce SUV, and I want it now, and I want to be the first guy who has it. Doesn't Porsche have an SUV? And isn't it the ugliest freaking thing you ever saw? Yes. And how about Ferrari? They got to have an SUV. What about Lamborghini? What about Maserati? What about Chef Boyardee? Don't forget, Phil, to plug the Baby Expo. Yeah, okay, thank you very much. Say, friends, the Yeah Baby Expo, the world's largest baby and family expo, is back February 7th and 8th at a new location, the Anaheim Convention Center. Yeah Baby will again feature over 200 booths and exhibits, family entertainment, and one-stop shopping for all the latest and greatest products and services. I'll be there on February the 7th at the Celebrity Reading Corner, reading to kids. Kids 10 and under get in free. Admissions $10. Go to www.yeahbabyexpo.com for more information. We'll also have the best of the Phil Hendry Show CD, The Death of Talk Radio, on sale there at the Yeah Baby Expo, Saturday, February 7th at the Anaheim Convention Center. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And look at this. James Brown got popped. Oh, I told you, got popped, for, I guess, allegedly beating up his wife. And he looks like a piece. I mean, the guy looks like he was sleeping under a bridge in this picture. Because he didn't have any power. Now, these ugly pictures of celebrities are pissing off their agents. They're saying now the following. At least James Brown's dead. He said, couldn't you let him get cleaned up before you pull him in for a picture? Boy, I can't tell you the number of times I would have appreciated that kind of treatment. Can I maybe, comb my hair before you get a mugshot on me? I mean, you got some celebrities accused of illegally possessing or distributing drugs, and we're supposed to feel sorry for them because they're like government targets and their rights are being violated, and every poor drug addict on the street's treated the same way and nobody gives a crap, and now these guys want to have their hair combed before they get a mugshot. I love it. All right, coming up, Bobby Dooley was, are we talking about Bobby? Bobby Dooley was on our program yesterday to talk about, she's been elected president of the Women's Democratic Party Club of the Western States, and she's going to go to Boston as a delegate nominee. She doesn't want to send her other party member, Gail Roswell, because Gail has a lazy eye. And, kind of drifts left and right. And she's afraid Gail will scare people at the convention.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Julie, I think...
My name is Bobby.
Julie?
Bobby Dooley.
The worst thing that could have happened to the Democratic Party was for you to get on national radio. And
I beg your pardon.
Whatever they have accomplished so far,
I beg your
you
pardon.
Have just destroyed.
No, I have not. And that is
yes,
very hurtful.
Yes, you have.
That's offensive.
Madam.
Hi, this is Phil. Let Bobby jump in here.
Well, I just have one question. I want to know if this woman is deaf because she won't listen to me.
You're absolutely correct. I've listened to every word you've said.
Well, what is this, GIMP call-in hour where you have cripples calling in?
Oh, my God.
I beg your pardon?
Well, if you're deaf, I asked Mr. Hendry if this was an hour for, the deaf
Julie,
and dumb. My name is Bobby.
Julie?
Well, okay, what do you want,
talking,
George? What do you want,
you
George?
You have some very serious mental problems.
What is your name, Hyatt? So your parents, is that where
my
you...
My name is Hyatt.
Were you conceived there? Is that why they named you that? What's your husband's name, Union 76?
Julie, I want to remind you, there have been many Americans that are shedding and have shed blood so that people like you can get out and talk.
What's your last name, Regency?
My last name, you want my name? Yes, I'll give you my name.
Hyatt Regency.
Marlena.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Hyatt
don't
Cushing.
Do it.
Thank you, Hyatt. You had the correct. My name's Bobby
Julie.
Dilley.
I want to tell you something.
Deaf.
If you are representing Dr. Dean, you have already helped him to lose.
No, you're
now
wrong.
Now you keep on talking,
you're wrong.
Julie.
The Democratic Party represents
you keep on talking,
money
Julie.
For all kinds of people.
You better believe it.
And the poor people are going to get more money. That's
you
what we have to do.
You believe it. And wherever they found you,
hey,
and whoever allowed you
well,
to
funny.
Speak on national radio made the biggest mistake they could have made.
What we're trying to say here, Bobby, if I could just jump in, is that in your attempt to communicate a message, you've already called this lady Hyatt Regency. I guess you think that's funny. It's being...
Well, my husband said Hyatt Watha, which I thought was even better.
I have been listening to what you've had to say about
okay.
disabled people.
There you go.
I think it's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
What? All I said
and
was...
As far as I'm concerned, Julie, you are sick. Very,
well,
very sick.
Hey, Julie, get me some coffee, will you?
In a minute. Now, Hyatt, I think that what I need to do is to tell Gail, all right, she can come to Boston with me. Do you,
you know,
have a problem
like
with this?
I would like to invite you to come here to Syracuse, New York.
Do you have a problem with
I
this?
I would like to have a debate with you
well, that's
in
what we're
front
doing
of
right
the public.
Now. That's what we're doing right now. We're debating.
You're
not
absolutely
really.
Correct.
It's
we
not,
are debating.
It's not really a
but
debate,
But unfortunately,
though.
Julie,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, what you are doing, you are damaging all of those that believe in what you're representing, the Democratic Party.
Now,
and in the length of time
say.
That you have been on national
I'm
radio...
I'm going to let Gail come to the Democratic Convention with me if
you
she'll wear
done,
a mask.
You have done
okay.
more damage
I'm just
during
joking.
This period of time
Hyatt,
than
why
anyone
do you have an
could
Indian
have
name?
Done.
Why do you have an Indian's name and a British accent?
I beg your pardon?
Why do you have an Indian's name and a British
because
accent?
Because I happen to be British.
Are you... No, I know that, but why are you? What kind of Indian are you?
Hey, Hyatt.
I happen to be an American citizen, and I'm proud of it. And it just so happens that I have also made sacrifices so that you can speak to me.
Well, I don't want you to feel
that phone.
Because I had a very dear friend, and her first name was Hilton. Isn't that fun? And
I had a buddy named Radisson.
Julie, I think you should
mm-hmm.
appreciate this man that is allowing you to use
I
his
do.
Airspace
I
to
love
speak.
My oh, you mean Mr. Hendry?
Yes.
Well, I think that...
Hey, Hyatt, Pip, Pip, and Cheerio. Isn't that British?
I beg your pardon?
Isn't Pip, Pip, and Cheerio a British way to talk?
And so is goodbye.
Oh, yeah? We do that, too, here.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold!
That lady, I listened to her again. That woman is an example of someone who is really, really angry and rather childish about it, but she was trying to come off mature. When she kept saying, Julie, Julie, that's like... What are we, three? But then she'd affect that cultured tone. So I don't know. I don't think, wherever you are, Hyatt, not only have you got a funny name, but I don't really think you knew what it was you were trying to say there yesterday. But I think you should really be angry at the guy that gave you that name, Hyatt, whoever it was. All right. I think you should be mad at whoever messed up your hair. You know, look, can we all agree on something? Can we stop naming our kids after products? Can we just all not name our kids after a product? Mercedes? No, 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 no. Hyatt? Lavoris? Sizzaline? All those things. You know, I'm seriously, man, some of these names, it sounds like, next thing you know, hi, this is my son, Mop and Glow, and over here, just don't name your kid after a product. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show's funniest lines, we're now posting on our website at www.philhendryshow.com. And if you remember a funny line from the show, then drop it to us via email at phs@philhendryshow.com, and we'll pop it onto our website. And we're getting, I don't know how often we're updating it, but we're getting a lot every day. Just things that you've heard a character say that seem to be memorable to you. For instance, let me see what we got the latest. Well, we haven't updated the site, but I mentioned the one, you know, the Father James McWhorter line about who wouldn't let the good father have a quick tickle and a peek for an Arby's beef witch. Stuff like that. So send it off to PHS at philhendryshow.com. Show's funniest lines. Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now, the Bud Dickman News Corporation presents news that pro hockey players can understand. If you play professional hockey, then finally there's a new show for you. Here now is Bud Dickman.
Hi! Michael Jackson drinks wine that he calls Jesus juice. And he gave it to kids. In other news, Oprah Winfrey is a fat woman that has a talk show on the TV. She's 50. They had a party for her and Tina Turner, Stevie Wonder, and Nelson Mandela came and everything, and Chris Rock, too, and Jennifer Lopez, too. She later cried because some black kids showed up. A man that eats other people is going to go to prison in the Germany country.
Bud Dickman with news even pro hockey players can understand, and Bud Dickman continues.
A man shot a kid because the kid threw a snowball at him, and that was also in the Germany place.
And now a Bud Dickman editorial.
I think it's probably bad to shoot a kid if he throwed a snowball, but if it was me he threw the snowball at, I would shoot him. And I probably feel bad, but still, it would be good to shoot him.
And now back to the news with Bud Dickman.
One time a friend of mine got an email from someone else, and it said, there's nude pictures. Guess what? That fool opened it up, and he got a virus on the computer. And then they had his dad made him throw his computer away.
And now more news that even pro hockey players can understand with Bud Dickman.
Excuse me. Kobe Bryant got a cut on his finger.
Here is a Bud Dickman editorial.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it! Kobe Bryant gets a cut on his finger, it's news? Oh my God! Oh my God!
And now back to the news with Bud Dickman.
A lady had babies, but she didn't keep them. She gave them to another lady who wanted them. Russell Crowe got hurt making a movie. I don't know how, but he got hurt. And another two men are going to play in a golf tournament.
A Bud Dickman editorial.
Why do they make me read news when it isn't even fun to do it? I hate it. I hate it.
Come on, Bud. Bud.
I hate it.
Bud, look. I got some Danimals. Some yogurt Danimals.
Can I get the raspberry one?
Yeah, they're right over there. Go get them.
I hate this.
This has been news even pro hockey players can understand from New York.
I'm Phil Hendry.
Can I get some of the yogurt, too? I mean, the chocolate pudding, too?
Don't you think you're going to spoil your dinner? Okay. Okay, there you go. That was the NBC Nightly News theme, actually, that I'm playing. Isn't that pretty? That's very lovely. In fact, I'd rather hear that than any news those guys ever had about anything. Why don't they just play that for a half hour? Rather than NBC go into a newscast, just play this, you guys, for 30 minutes. I would love it. Sounds like a Steven Spielberg movie, doesn't it? Can't you see the kid flying across the moon with the bike and the E.T. and the thing? Yeah, really? But no, I got to listen to Tom Brokaw with that freaking broken jaw of his talking about every other goofy thing. All right, so there it is, Bud Dickman with his nonsense. News that even pro football players or pro hockey players can understand. We don't really mean to be insulting about our hockey friends, but, well, football's over, so we got to start bagging on somebody. And you hockey guys, I mean, the basketball players get it good, so we're going to start laying around to the hockey guys. I told you, in doing a little bit of research for an article that I was writing, it's not really an article, it's a little piece I was writing, I was trying to just do a little background on some guys, and I dug up that Bobby Hull stuff, which here in the States we don't know a lot about hockey, but Bobby Hull, man, this guy is the all-time Oscar-winning slob. Now, I'm told he was a great hockey player. He used to beat up his wives and stick shotguns in their mouths. Then I told you all that stuff about how he thought Hitler was sweet, like he had a real sexual thing for him. All right. Well, Mr. Hull, good for you, sir. And, I don't know, long live the Who, the Blackhawks, whatever the hell they're called. By the way, the Phil Hendry Show website is featuring this week in our souvenir shop the Western Estates Spa Robe. Now, Valentine's is February 14th, and I was thinking, if there's one thing you probably have never gotten a little lady in your life, is that nice spa robe, because she wants to go, and she wants to get the whole rub down, you know, the whole massage and the whole deal. See, what they do is they get together with their girlfriends, and they go off to a day spa, and they have a foot rub, and then they meet a guy there, and his name is Wolfgang, and he's ripped and cut, and then they secretly begin an affair with this guy in the aromatherapy room, and you just think it's all about the chicks, right? Well, make sure she has a robe to wear while she's having this affair with that guy. Get that robe at the Western Estates store in our souvenir shop. It's a beautiful Western Estates spa robe. It has the Western Estates logo there on the left breast. And it's made out of very soft terry. Really just a sweet thing to have as she's coming out of the steam room with Wolfgang or Gunther following behind. I love you very much, Mrs. Jones. I hope you come back here. Gunther, I really can't do it anymore, okay? I'm married. Please, understand. All I want to live in America and be in love with a wonderful woman like you. I know he beats you. I know he's not good for you. Gunther, my husband's fine. It's just that he's tired and he doesn't give it to me as good as you do. Yeah, Gunther give it to you good, right? Yeah? Yes, of course you do, but I have responsibilities. Good. You come back tomorrow. Gunther rub your feet good like he do today. Please, let me kiss you again. Oh, God, you got that breath. The kraut breath. Come on, honey. All right, let's go. I got to go. My kids are at school. I got to pick them up and go home. I got to make dinner for my husband, I mean. He's kind of a father figure to me. It's very non-sexual. Gunther can't stand it any longer. What is it with you in the third person, okay? Are you like a ghoul out of a vault? Talk about yourself in the first person. Gunther loves you. Gunther wants you. Stop it with the Gunther this and the Gunther that. You're creeping me out. What am I talking to here, man? The Frankenstein monster? Soup. Good. So you'll see, when you get her that spa robe, she's going to dig it. What is it with chicks in these spa? No kidding. I mean, I like to go with my wife to this one that we know out in the desert. It's kind of cool. But, oh my God, I got my wife one of these pillows that you can microwave for the neck. She loves it. Then we got her another thing that she loves. I don't know. You know, she's always taking these bubble baths. She's always with the candles. It's a whole new thing that chicks have discovered, the spa thing. Now, I can take it or leave it. I don't want to do it all the time. I like to get facials. Okay, there's a few gay things that I enjoy, but why? Is it something wrong with that? No, I do like to get a facial. Not that kind, Pelton. What a sick freak you are. But, in other news,
So yeah, get her that spa robe and don't bother me, okay? 1-800-449-8686, guys. We'll see you. Have a beautiful weekend. Have a wonderful time. What do you want, Gunther? I love your wife, Mr. Henry, even if it means that I must kill you. Fine. How about a pedicure, though, before you go in and have sex with her?
Sure.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.